book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1. And we want to think about three things in the way that Jeremiah presented himself before the Lord and how that God blessed him. The subject we want to think about is this. And the title of the message is The Troubles and Blessings of Jeremiah. That's the title. The Troubles and Blessings of Jeremiah. But we want to think about three different ways about how God blessed Jeremiah. Number one is that Jeremiah quit. That's the first one. The second one is safety for Jeremiah. Number three is that Jeremiah goes to Egypt. That's the three things we want to talk about. Number one is that Jeremiah quit. And then safety for Jeremiah. This is something that he really wanted. Safety. And then number three is that God sends Jeremiah to Egypt. A place he didn't even want to go. But God sent him and he went. And he did the same thing there. It's amazing when you think about it. When you read the story, if you read the book of Jeremiah, it's an eye-opener. I tell you, it really is. The Lamentations of Jeremiah that was brought out by Brother Evans is a remarkable book, absolutely. So it teaches about our troubles and trials and how God can give us the victory over it all. That's what it's about. Left to ourselves, we're going to fail. Left to ourselves, we won't make it. But when God is in charge, we can't fail. Think about that. When God is in charge, it is impossible for us to fail. You know why? It's not because of us. It's because God is the one leading us. And He will never fail. Wow. You know, I think of our country today and how much we need the Lord. I really do. I think about that. And we're wondering what's going to happen with the election, yet we're still wondering about that. All I can say is that God's in charge. He knows. Let's trust in God and let God do what He wants to do. But in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 1, I think the Bible talks here about, in verse number 1, the way that Jeremiah was raised. The Bible said, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Right? We'll stop right there. So, Lord, in a word of prayer, ask God to watch over us and help us today that we might be able to preach what God desires. Lord, I pray, Father, for power today. Lord, Your power, not mine. Lord, I pray that You might give, Lord, me the help that I need in order to declare Your word, Your way, that this people would be encouraged and strengthened. I pray, Lord, we might not be discouraged as we look at all the things going on in this world. Rather, we might be encouraged as Jeremiah was encouraged, continue to do what God wanted him to do. Ask You, Lord, just forgive us for our sins. Watch over us. Keep us, Lord, close to You today. And Lord, I pray that You might be of those who are lost, that they might see the need of Christ and come to Him in saving faith. I know, Lord, You can save. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I just read this one verse because I want to look at who Jeremiah is and where he lived, first of all. This is kind of a way of introduction. Who is Jeremiah? I know he's a man of God. I know he's one of the major prophets in the Bible. Who is he? The Bible says he is the son of Hilkiah. Who is Hilkiah? Well, this name appears in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23. And just turn and just or you can make a note of this or whatever you want to do with it. But understand that there is some dispute about this. 2 Kings 22, 2 Kings 22 and verse number 3. Now, I said there's some dispute about this, about whether this Hilkiah that we're going to read about is Jeremiah's dad or not. There's some dispute about that. I'll just leave it like that. In the book of 2 Kings 22 and verse number 3, Josiah was here the king. He was a young boy when he was anointed king. He was 8 years old. How would you like to have a president that's 8 years old? I think you need somebody else to rule in place of him. Absolutely so. But this young man, he ruled for 31 years, the Bible said in verse number 1. He ruled for 31 years. He was a real good king. The Bible said, it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent to get money to rebuild or to refurbish, you could say, the temple. And the Bible said in verse number 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Japhan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Japhan and he read it. What does that mean? Verse number 8. They found the book of the law. They didn't have it already? They didn't have another copy somewhere? I don't think they did. I mean, they didn't have that in their presence. And Hilkiah the priest found that and brought it to Shaphan the scribe. And then Shaphan the scribe, he gave it unto King Josiah. In verse number 11, the Bible tells us what the king did. It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And he said, the Lord's wrath is kindled against us in a great way. We are in terrible shape. He did not say, this book is trash. Forget it. He did not say that. This young boy, he was about 18 plus 8, 26 years old. This is what he said. He said, I am greatly concerned about our nation because of this that's going on. So, whether this Hilkiah of 2 Kings 22 is Jeremiah's dad or not, I don't know. But I know that in the timeline, it fits. That's what I know. It's over there in that book, the 6,000-year earth. If you just read that, it's got the timeline of when Jeremiah preached, and it fits that Hilkiah could have been his dad. All right? It could have been. Now, the second thing we'll look at is that the words of Jeremiah, I'm reading the book of Jeremiah 1, verse number 1. I'm back on there now. I just want to give you that to you because this Hilkiah was a great man. They found the book of the law and they gave it to the king, and the king was very discouraged about it all, but they gave it to a man that could do something about it. Now, in verse number 1 of Jeremiah 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Where is that? Well, it's about 5 or 6 miles northeast of Jerusalem. You say, well, that's not the same city. That's right. But this city, Anathoth, is a city where priests lived. It's a city where priests lived. The reason I know that many priests live there was because this is one of the cities of refuge. You can find that in the book of Joshua 21, verse number 18. Just jot that down and look at it later. Joshua 21, verse 18. The Bible says that this city is Anathoth. It's just a little bit, 5 miles. And 5 miles is no distance at all. Well, in today's language, it's not. I know 5 miles, when you had to walk it, it would be quite a distance. But there it is. Many a slayer would have a place to run to when they had troubles. And that's what I want to read to you there. But this kind of gives you an idea of who Jeremiah is and some of the things that he was facing in his life. In Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse number 4, the Bible speaks here that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah and spoke to him. And he said in verse number 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Well, that's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that knows everything about everything. There's nothing He doesn't know anything about. He knows it all. That's the God we serve. He knew before Jeremiah lived, before he was even in the womb. Look what the Bible said here. God knew him. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." So, Jeremiah was well known of God. And he said, here's what I did. "Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." That is, I set thee aside. I said, "I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." Jeremiah was living in a city that was full of prophets, of priests, of people that had an idea they were going to step up into a place of worshiping God, a leader in the house of God. When Jeremiah received this call from God to be this kind of a leader, a spiritual leader, a real prophet unto the Lord, he said, verse 6, "Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child." I think of Moses when I think of this. Moses told God, "I can't talk," but he wrote 5 books in the Bible. And he led the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He was a great leader, a great one. And Jeremiah is also a great leader. When he said, "I cannot speak," God said to him, "Don't say I'm a child." Verse number 7. "Don't say I'm a child. For thou shalt go where I'll send thee, and you'll say whatever I tell you to say." All right? But God, in verse number 8, says one thing twice. In verse number 8, He says, "Be not afraid of their faces." Be not afraid of their faces. "For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." So God is saying, don't be... They're going to give you bad faces. Have you ever... You know what I'm talking about? Every one of you children know what a bad face is. You know why I know you know? It's because your parents have given you a bad face. And you know. You know when you receive that, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You know that. Nobody's got to tell you that. You know it. God said, don't be afraid of their faces. People will give you a bad look. That's all right. Don't be afraid of it. Why? Because I'm in charge. That's what he said. In verse number 17. This is the second time. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. He says it again. Don't be afraid of their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So God can cause confusion as well. He can cause Jeremiah to be confused. Don't be confused at the faces at all. In verse number 18, he says this, For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city. You believe that? Look what he said. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land. What I'm asking you, do you believe what Jeremiah heard in verse number 18? For behold, I made thee this day a defense city. Do you believe that God is able to give you the victory over this world, even if you have to die? That's what the lesson's really comprising here, because the troubles and the blessings of Jeremiah, that's what we're talking about. The troubles Jeremiah had, but in every trouble that Jeremiah had, in every trouble, there is a blessing. In every trouble, there is a blessing. Sometimes all we see is a trouble. But we don't ever see the blessings. Sometimes we need to understand that there's troubles and blessings in everybody's life. That's the way it is. He said, I'll make you a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. So what God is saying here, in verse number 18, you preach against them. What you say, they won't like. But that's their problem. Your problem, Jeremiah, is to do what I'm telling you to do. That's it. Verse number 19, They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. What's our trust in? Verse 19 says, Our trust is in the Lord, not anything else. Our trust is in the Lord, not in anything else. I think it's imperative that we understand this very vital truth, that our trust is in the Lord and no one else. Now, point number one. Don't be tough. Maybe I'll get to it. Number one. Three ways God blessed Jeremiah. Number one is Jeremiah quit. In Jeremiah chapter 20, this is the time when Jeremiah quit. Verse number one, it says, Now Pashur, the son of Immer the priest, who is also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet. What does that mean? He hit him. And he put him in the stocks. You know what that is? Yeah, some of you know what that is? Okay. A device where they can lock your head, your feet, your arms in there, and you sit there. It's all you can do. You sit there. Put him in the stocks in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. In verse number 3, the Bible said, It came to pass on the morrow. So that tells me that Jeremiah sat in the stocks all night. That's very comfortable, isn't it? That's like laying on a feather bed. No, it's not very comfortable at all. There's no way you could find any rest. You couldn't move. You'd be all stiff. And he did that for a reason, because he wanted Jeremiah to think about what he had said. That pastor brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, "The Lord hath not called thy name pastor, but Magasmis a bit," or whatever. What? What's that about? Notice this. What does the word pasher mean? That's his name. What it means is freedom. Freedom. Everybody likes freedom, right? And instead of me pronouncing his name again, or trying to, what does it mean? It means this. It means terror on every side. Oh. Terror. T-E-R-R-O-R. Terror on every side. In other words, you speak peace, you speak freedom, but instead of giving freedom, you'll be terrorized on every side. You will be. I don't think that Jeremiah was very discouraged. Do you? It doesn't seem like it. He said in verse number 4, here's why Jeremiah says what he does. "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. And they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and they shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give in the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou," here's a special revelation for you, "and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shall be burdened there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies." Wow. That's remarkable. It doesn't seem like he's bothered one bit. Doesn't seem that way. But I want you to look here. Just as soon as Jeremiah finishes speaking, then verse number 7, he begins to talk to the Lord. And it's a different thing altogether. It's a different attitude about everything. So don't be surprised if you hear things from the man of God that burst your bubble, that destroys your life. But the man inside is trembling. Know that that's so. He's a person just like you are. He has feelings, he has ambitions, he has thoughts just like you do. Notice what Jeremiah talked to the Lord about. He said, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived." Did God really deceive Jeremiah? He felt like it. He felt like it. And he told God about it. You know, I think that's the best thing you can ever do to God, is to tell Him the thoughts of your heart. He already knows them. You might as well talk about it. You might as well tell Him. He said, "Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everybody mocks me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord hath been and made it a reproach to me and a derision daily. There's a comma after the word derision. He's always facing this because he has been chosen of God and he speaks the word of God. He wants people to understand that. Then I said, I'm quitting. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'll fix this. I won't say anything else. I am done. The Bible said in verse number 9, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Boy, that's the way it is. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He couldn't help but preach and say what God wanted to say because God is one that chose him. God is one that called him. God is one that gives him this great message. It's a message that will not be received. But it's still the truth. Understand that sometimes we must let God change our minds. It's not that we want to follow the preacher. No. Don't be a preacher follower. But be a God follower. These people that Jeremiah preached to, they thought they were following little g God. But they were not. Don't be like that. In verse number 10. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble. Notice that. Jeremiah is saying, as I'm going forth and I'm with the people, and they're saying, he'll stumble. Notice that. They're saying, Jeremiah will mess up somewhere. But Jeremiah's confidence is not in himself. His confidence is in God. He said, the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. It's not me. Jeremiah is trusting the Lord, and Jeremiah will prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, thou triest the righteous, and seest the reins in the heart. Let me see thy vengeance on them, for upon thee have I opened my cause. So Jeremiah is totally trusting in the Lord. Verse 13. Sing unto the Lord. Get this. Jeremiah is facing many difficulties. I mean, on every side, the people are all over him. They don't like what he's saying, and they're waiting on him just to stumble, just to make some kind of mess up. And here Jeremiah is singing. See in Jeremiah that he is a man. He is a man. He's a fleshly man. He's also a spiritual man. He wants to do what God wants him to do. But he says that he will sing unto the Lord. He will praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. And he said in verse number 13, that God delivers the soul of the poor, He doesn't say He will deliver the body. Because at this point, Jeremiah doesn't know what's going to happen later. But he said, I know that I've done what God wanted me to do. And that's what we face in this world today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know about next week. We don't know about the election, how that's going to turn. We don't know that. But I know this, that God is very well able to bless. He's very well able to keep us. He's very well able to help us be what He wants us to be. The soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. One thing about it, evildoers will do all they can to destroy us. Just like the evildoers in the days of Jeremiah did all they could do to destroy Jeremiah. But they couldn't. In verse number 14, Jeremiah cursed the day of his birth. And I want to I guess I'll just read this. He said in verse 14, cursed be the day of when I was born. Let not the day where my mother bare me be blessed. This is what Jeremiah is saying about himself. It's a personal thing. Inside him is what he's saying. He said, cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb. Or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. So he's saying, I wish I'd never been born. That's really what he's saying. You see the difference between Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 1 down through verse number 6, what Jeremiah said to Pasher? Well, it was brave. But what he said to God is totally different. So don't be surprised if sometimes what you think, what you feel, is totally different from what God wants you to do. Because we're just people. I mean, that's all we are. And frankly, I don't like pain. I just don't. If somebody comes at me with a knife, I'm going another way. If they come at me with a little bitty needle, I'll sit there if it's in a doctor's office. But I don't like pain. I just really don't. What he felt as an individual, as a person. I understand that Jeremiah is a person. And by the way, you're a person. You are a person. And sometimes the things that God tells you to say are very different from what you want to say. But you must say what God wants you to say. You must say it and be right before God. It's a difficult proposition altogether to be right all the time. We didn't get done. We're going to stop right there. We'll take up the rest of this tonight, Lord willing. And evening service is at 2:45, or I think it's when it starts. Yeah. We'll take it up then. Add something else, but I think I'll just finish this up tonight. Unless the Lord changes my mind between now and then, but I think I will. Because I think it's very important to understand these things that were going on in Jeremiah's life. and the trouble that he had, and how much he wanted to do what God told him to do. And yet he was full of this anxiety, just like we are oftentimes. We get afraid. We get nervous about things. But God wants us to be, God wants us to always speak the truth and be right. You know, sometimes you might think you want to quit. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, I just can't do this anymore? Well, join the crowd. Hello. I said it before you did. So I don't understand that. I pray for you because I know that one of these days you will understand. I know you will understand. But we must be true to God regardless of what happens. We only have one life to live, only one short little life to live. And while we live this life, it is extremely important that we always do what God wants us to do. You know, years ago, I heard a preacher say that. I don't know how old I was. I have no idea. By this young guy, and he said, you just have one life to live. You need to do right. Do what God wants you to do. And I thought, what's that? What's that about? But it became apparently clear because I couldn't live a day over. If it was on Sunday, I couldn't live that day again. It was done. That day was done. And I get older as it progress. So always do every day what God wants you to do. If you're lost today, we pray for you that the Lord would bless you with salvation. Only God can give you a great life. Don't know this. When Jeremiah was called of God, God told him the very first thing. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Isn't it something? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew that. That's the kind of God that we serve. We serve a loving God that knew us, and He saved us from all kinds of trouble. I tell you what, He is a wonderful, wonderful God. He didn't have to touch me, but I'm glad He did. I'm glad He has moved on me the way He has, although I have not lived a perfect life at all. But the Lord willing, we'll continue this message tonight, the Lord willing, and we'll talk about safety for Jeremiah. And number three, then point number three is that God sends Jeremiah into Egypt. So if you're lost today, we pray for you that the Lord will bless you with salvation. Only God can save your soul. I pray that He would make it real for you. I pray that He might touch you today as you live. That you might see the necessity of doing what God wants you to do regardless of what you think. Regardless of what you feel. Do what God wants you to do. Always have that fixed in your heart and in your mind. You're going to do what God wants you to do, period. Do what God wants you to do, period. God will always work out. He'll always work it all out. I don't know how, but He'll always work it out. Just trust God. He'll always do it, okay? All right. Do this thing, brother.